Most betrayals are whispered behind closed doors, but this one began with a scream, two brothers, fists raised, blood on the floor, and a woman in the middle holding a baby she claimed belonged to both of them. What happens when the woman you love sleeps with your brother? And worse, what if she tells you both you're the father of her child, then forces you to play her twisted game for years? Not out of desperation, but power. This isn't a story about infidelity. It's about emotional manipulation so cunning it rewrote two men's lives, about a woman who used motherhood as a weapon, love as a leash, and sex as control. She said she was confused, that it was a mistake, that she loved them both. She lied. This is the story of how one woman destroyed a family with one pregnancy test, and how far two brothers were willing to go to keep her secrets buried. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Engagement Lie. The first time Emily saw the Caldwell brothers together, it was at a bonfire party by Lake Lennox. Firelight dancing across the water, music pulsing through the trees. She had just turned 22, a college senior with a black cherry lipstick smile and a body that turned heads. Her boyfriend, Darren Caldwell, had invited her to meet his family for the first time. Darren was the golden boy, navy suit, Wall Street ambition, every inch the polished Ivy Leaguer. But it was his older brother, Jace, who made her skin prickle. Jace was nothing like Darren. Tattooed forearms, a rough, wind-chapped face, grease on his jeans and smoke on his breath. He was the kind of man who looked like he'd fight you and kiss you in the same breath. Emily shook his hand that night and held it a beat too long. "I've heard a lot about you," Jace said, eyes narrowing with amusement. "Good things, I hope," she replied, tilting her chin. "Mostly," he said. Then, with a grin that felt like a dare, added, "Be careful. My brother falls hard." So did she. For both of them. The engagement came quickly. Within 6 months, Darren presented her with a 2-carat solitaire on the deck of a luxury yacht. Emily smiled for the cameras, kissed him for the family, and let herself be pulled into a fantasy. Brunches, ring fittings, house tours in Westchester. But there were cracks in the glass. It started the night Jace fixed the sink in their apartment. Darren was away on business, and Emily, in a silk robe, poured 2 whiskies out of gratitude. "I know what you're doing," Jace said after a long silence. "Oh?" she replied, one leg tucked beneath her. "You wear his ring, but you look at me like you wish it was mine." Her throat tightened, but she didn't deny it. Instead, she whispered, "Maybe I do." They kissed. Then they did more than kiss. One time became 2. 2 became 6. Then they stopped counting. By the time Emily missed her period, she was already juggling 2 realities. The woman Darren loved and the woman Jace desired. She told herself it was temporary, that she'd come clean, that she'd choose. But the test came back positive and everything changed. She told Darren first. He was overjoyed, dropped to his knees, kissed her stomach, said, "We'll be a family." A week later, she told Jace. His face went pale. "Is it mine?" She hesitated, then said, "It could be." From that moment forward, she never gave a straight answer. The next year was a carefully curated chaos. She married Darren in a church with roses in her hair and Jace in the front row. Her son, Max, was born with Jace's dark eyes and Darren's jawline. At every family dinner, every birthday party, both brothers doted on the boy, changed diapers, paid bills, took turns babysitting, always under Emily's control. "You're both his father," she whispered to them, separately. in those quiet moments when guilt twisted their faces. Jace stayed silent. Darren looked away. And Emily, she smiled. It was the perfect storm, because neither brother was willing to confront the other. Neither wanted the truth, and both wanted her. By the time Max turned 4, Emily had turned her double life into a fortress of emotional blackmail. Darren was now regional VP at his firm, pulling in a 6-figure salary and buying Emily anything she asked for. Meanwhile, Jace had gone into business for himself, opening a motorcycle shop and quietly wiring money into a private account Emily controlled for Max. She told him. She kept them in line with soft threats. What if I move out? What if Max grows up without both of you? What if he asks questions I can't answer? But her grip wasn't just financial. It was sexual, emotional, psychological. When Darren grew suspicious, Emily would seduce him. When Jace tried to walk away, she'd whisper, "He's more like you every day." She made them believe she was trapped, when in fact they were. Then came the night Darren found the baby photos. He was cleaning out an old laptop when he saw them, dozens of images Emily had hidden in a password-protected folder. Max in Jace's arms at the hospital. Max at 6 months, asleep on Jace's chest. A selfie of Emily in bed with Jace, pregnant and smiling. The blood drained from his face. He didn't scream. He didn't confront. He printed the photos, put them in an envelope, and drove to Jace's garage. Jace didn't deny it. He lit a cigarette with shaking hands and said, "She told me he might be mine." "She told me the same thing," Darren replied. The brothers stood in silence, the sound of traffic humming in the background. For a moment, neither said a word. Then Darren asked, "Why didn't you say anything?" "Because I knew what it would do to you," Jace said. "And maybe I was scared." They both were. The brothers agreed on one thing. Emily had manipulated them, lied to them, used their love for Max as a leash. But neither was ready to destroy their own reflection by admitting just how deep they'd let her go. They left the confrontation unfinished, but Emily would soon push them too far, and when she did, one of them would end up bloody. Chapter 2. The Collapse of Trust. Jace couldn't sleep that night. The smell of gasoline and engine oil still clung to his hands as he stared at the ceiling in his apartment above the shop. For years he had lived with the guilt, told himself he was the guilty one, the betrayer, the weak one, the mistake. But now he realized he hadn't just betrayed Darren. He had been played by a woman who knew exactly how far a man would go for love and for a child. He picked up his phone more than once to call Emily. Each time he stopped, stared at the screen, and then hurled the device across the room. It hit the wall with a hollow crack and dropped to the floor. The pictures Darren had shown him were still in his mind, each one a nail in the coffin of whatever illusions he'd held. There was no grey anymore, no excuses, just a brutal truth. Emily had lied to them both, kept them under control with the baby, with her body, with her secrets, and now something had to give. Emily noticed the shift immediately. Darren, once cheerful and doting, had grown cold, mechanical. He still came home, still played the role, but there was an edge to him now. Questions with barbs, silences that stretched too long. "Is something wrong?" she asked one night as she tucked Max into bed. Darren didn't look up from his scotch. "You tell me." She played dumb, smiled softly. "You've been distant." "So have you," he said, his eyes locked on hers like a sniper's scope. "Where were you last Thursday night?" She blinked. "Book club." "Funny," he said, sipping his drink. "Book club ended 3 months ago, Donna told me." Her spine stiffened. "Don't lie to me, Em," Darren said. Not anymore. He stood, placed the empty glass on the counter, and walked out. Jace, meanwhile, had stopped showing up. No calls, no texts. Max asked for him every other day. "Where's Uncle Jace?" the boy asked, a crayon in one hand and chocolate on his cheek. Emily forced a smile. "He's just busy, sweetheart." But inside she was unravelling. Jace was the one she couldn't predict. He had always been the wild card, the one who said he'd leave and meant it. If he pulled away completely, Darren would follow. The web would collapse, and she couldn't let that happen. She needed control. She needed options. She needed secrets. So she went to the only place she still held power. Jace didn't look surprised when she showed up at the garage. His hands were black with grease, his shirt soaked in sweat. He didn't say a word as she approached, heels clicking on the concrete floor. "Why haven't you called?" she asked softly. He didn't answer. She stepped closer. "You think ignoring me will make this go away?" Jace stood slowly, wiping his hands on a rag. "I think we both made mistakes." "No," she said, eyes narrowing. "You think you're the victim now, but don't forget, Jace, I never made you touch me. You did that all on your own." His jaw clenched. "And what about Max?" she added. "You think walking away helps him?" He threw the rag onto the counter. "You don't get to use him against me. Not anymore." Her face twisted. "So what? You're just going to disappear. Let Darren raise your son alone." "You don't even know if he's mine," Jace snapped. The words hung in the air like a loaded gun. Then Emily stepped closer, so close he could smell her perfume, and whispered, "You want to know the truth?" He didn't answer. She leaned in, lips near his ear. "I'll tell you, if you come upstairs." It wasn't love. It wasn't even lust. It was something darker. A need to reclaim control, to pull him back under. Emily knew exactly what she was doing as she unzipped his jeans, as she guided him to the bed above the garage, as she whispered things she hadn't said since before Max was born. But this time, something was different. Afterwards, Jace didn't hold her. He didn't kiss her forehead or run his hand down her back. He just got up, dressed, and said, "We're done." Emily sat up. "What?" "You used him," Jace said. "Used me and Darren. You want us both to orbit around you like some fucked up little solar system." She stood, the sheet wrapped around her. "You still came, didn't you? You still wanted me." "I wanted closure," he said. "Now I have it." He left her there, naked and alone. For the first time in 5 years, Emily realised the balance of power was shifting, and not in her favour. Darren had been waiting. He watched from his car across the street, engine off, lights out. When Jace emerged from the garage, buttoning his shirt and glancing over his shoulder, Darren didn't flinch. He already knew. The only question now was what he was willing to do about it. The next morning, Emily received an email with no subject line and one attachment. A paternity test kit receipt. No name, no note, just confirmation of purchase. She felt the blood drain from her face. Then another message arrived. This time, a photo, her in bed with Jace, time-stamped 6 weeks before the wedding, and the caption, "Tick, tick, tick." Emily panicked. She called Darren. No answer. She called Jace. Voicemail. She drove to the office, stormed through security, demanded to see Darren in his glass-walled corner suite. He met her at the door, calm as a priest. "What is this?" she hissed, shoving the phone in his face. "I think you know," he said. "You're testing Max, without my permission?" He smiled faintly. "He's my son, right?" Her hands trembled. "You don't get to do this. We're a family." "No," Darren said, stepping closer. "We're a lie. And I finally stopped believing it." She tried to slap him. He caught her wrist. Then he whispered something that chilled her to the bone. I don't care who the father is anymore. I care about the damage you've done. And I'm going to make sure Max never learns what kind of woman you really are. Emily left the office in a fog. By the time she reached her car, she was hyperventilating. She slammed the steering wheel, screamed, clawed at her own throat. For 5 years, she had held all the power, and now it was slipping through her fingers like sand. She had only one move left. If she couldn't control the men anymore, she'd control the narrative. That night, she filed for sole custody, claimed both men were emotionally unstable, claimed Darren was abusive, claimed Jace had once grabbed her wrist hard enough to bruise. She submitted old photos, falsified texts, crying voice notes recorded on her phone, and the next morning, she told Max they were going away for a while. Just mommy and son, no explanations, just silence and a bag full of secrets. Chapter 3, DNA and Deception. The courthouse was quiet at 7 a.m. Just the janitor wheeling a mop bucket across polished floors and a bailiff sipping vending machine coffee in the lobby. Darren Caldwell sat alone on a bench outside family court, a sealed envelope in his lap. Inside was the paternity test he'd expedited through a private lab in the city. It had taken 3 swabs, 2 weeks, and a forged signature on the consent form. He hadn't told Jace. Not yet. The envelope felt radioactive, as if opening it would detonate a bomb beneath everything they once called family. But Darren had already rehearsed what came next. If the test confirmed what he suspected, if Max wasn't his, he would walk away, quietly. No custody battle, no revenge. But if Max was his, then he'd burn everything Emily had built, brick by brick. Jace hadn't slept either. He had spent the night rereading every message, every photo, every late-night confession Emily had ever sent him. Not for nostalgia, for evidence. Her custody filing had blindsided him. He hadn't even known Darren had been served until he got a call from the family attorney. She's saying you both have a history of emotional volatility, the lawyer explained. She claims you harassed her as recently as last week. Jace laughed bitterly. You mean, after she came to my place and seduced me? Doesn't matter, the lawyer said. It's her word and timestamps now. So Jace did the only thing he could do. He broke into his own security system. The shop had cameras, internal and external. Emily hadn't known they were still active. By noon, he had exported the footage, her entering, staying the night, and leaving unthreatened. No bruises, no signs of distress, and definitely no harassment. Just sex, and then silence. Emily was packing when the knock came. She had booked 2 tickets to Arizona under her maiden name. 1 adult, 1 child. A friend from college had promised a guest house and a clean start. Just until things cooled down, she was folding Max's clothes when she heard the door open. She turned and froze. Darren stood in the hallway. Behind him, Jace. And between them, a silence so thick it made the air hum. You broke in? She asked, voice trembling. I used my key, Darren said. The one you never took back. She reached for her phone. Jace shut the door. No more lies, Emily, he said, voice flat. Get out, she snapped. No, Darren replied. Not until you answer 1 question. He held up the envelope. Her blood turned to ice. I got the results, he said. Do you want to open them, or should I? She hesitated, calculated, lied. He's yours, Darren, she said softly. He's always been yours. Darren didn't blink. He tore open the envelope, unfolded the paper, and read aloud. Paternity result, excluded. Probability of paternity, 0.0%. Silence. Emily's lip quivered. No, no, that's not possible. Darren stepped forward. I gave you everything. My name. My trust. And you gave me a child that wasn't mine. and made me believe he was. "I didn't know," she shouted. "I didn't know for sure," Jace stepped in. "But you told us both we were the father, used it to control us. You kept us in your web while you lied to our faces." "I was scared," she whispered. "I had nothing. You both had everything," Darren scoffed. "So you played house with one brother and bed with the other." Emily dropped to the floor, hands shaking. "Please, don't take him away. Max doesn't know. He thinks you're both his heroes." Jace knelt. "We were, until you made us enemies." He slid a flash drive across the floor. "That's the security footage from my shop. I already gave a copy to the court. Your custody case. It's done." She looked up at him. "You're turning Max against me." "No," Jace said. "You did that. The moment you made him a pawn in your game." The trial moved fast after that. The judge reviewed the DNA evidence, the security footage, and the falsified claims. Emily's lies collapsed in court under the weight of her own manipulation. Her lawyer tried to pivot, citing postpartum stress, mental health issues, but the damage was done. The court ruled joint custody between Jace and Emily, with supervised visitation, but Darren, he walked away, quietly, irrevocably. Max was 5 when he learned the truth. Jace sat him down on a park bench near the lake, the same one where Emily had first met the Caldwell brothers. He kept it simple. "Your mum and I made some mistakes, but I love you. I always will." Max looked up with those same dark eyes and asked, "Are you my real dad?" Jace swallowed the lump in his throat. "I'm the one who'll always be here. That's what matters." Max nodded, small hand reaching for his. Emily moved into a condo 2 towns over. She started therapy, got a job at a boutique, and tried to repair the wreckage she'd created. But her name was burned into gossip circles. The woman who lied about her baby's father. The woman who tore 2 brothers apart. She'd see Jace at drop-offs, sometimes Darren from a distance. The silence between them said everything. And every now and then, when she was alone in her room, she'd look at old photos of the 3 of them, Darren, Jace, and Max, and wonder how different it all could have been if she'd just told the truth. But by then, it was too late. The damage had already been done.